Lord, we just thank you again for this time of fellowship. We praise you, Father, for what you're showing us in our prayers and how you answer our prayers and how you tell us how to pray. And when you tell us how to pray, how awesome it is to watch you work in those prayers. And Father, I thank you that you're placing it in all of our hearts to be praying. And as David said yesterday on the broadcast, he said there's a storm coming, and we need to be praying that President Trump, Father, cleans the swamp, drains the swamp before the storm hits. And Lord, we thank you that you are doing that even as we speak. And I thank you for sending your angels there to uncover all the mess up there, Lord, and uncover all the corruptness and evilness that's going on up there, the pedophilia that's going on, Lord, and the satanic ritual and all of that stuff going on in the government. And Father, we thank you that you're going to expose every bit of it and clean house up there before this storm starts. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you get us clean. Grant repentance to all of us, Lord, to repent of those things that has hindered our walk before this storm hits, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you so much for the dreams that we've been getting and excuse me, and the visions and the words from your word, Lord, that show us that we really need to be getting really ready for this storm that's coming. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us tonight. Anoint us to talk and to speak and to glorify you with the words that you want us to say, Lord. And let any teaching tonight be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And let it come forth as a revelation to people. And I thank you for it, Father. And I ask and I pray that you anoint everybody here tonight, Lord. And fill them up with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we command all communication spirits that would try to interrupt the conference call tonight. We bind you up and cast you out of here in the name of Jesus. There's not going to be any problems whatsoever in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Go ahead, Calvin. Wait a minute. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, Brother Mike, I just, you know, I do evangelism a lot. And, you know, I need wisdom and strength, you know, to go on. I mean, you know, because out there, you know, it looks, you know, in the natural, it don't look good. But, you know, when you see it in the spirit, like when Elijah says, you know, just, Lord, let them see what I see. And I want to see things through God's eyes, not through my eyes. You know, I want to say things, do things, just like Adam, you know, when he said something, it was the word of God. Because even Jesus backed it up. You know, and we have that kind of, you know, we have that kind of authority in Jesus' name. But, you know, he don't want it individual. He wanted a corporate anointing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what I want.
You want me to pray, or you want us to just agree with you, or what?
Go ahead, you know. Amen.
In the name of Jesus right here, Lord, I thank you for Calvin's want to get out there and witness for you, Father. I ask that you fill him up with your Holy Spirit. To overflowing, Lord, that would affect the people that he sees out there. And in the name of Jesus, we command any kind of hindering spirits in his way to be gone in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give him wisdom. You're going to give him total discernment. And the gifts are going to be in operation where signs and wonders are going to follow Calvin in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that when he prays for people for healing or deliverance or anything like that, Lord, that you're going to show up and we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the souls that's going to be saved because of Calvin's wanting to, Lord, and witnessing. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, one time, Calvin, I was over in Memphis during Memphis in May. And that's an evil time. I'm going to tell you, that's an evil time. And I was over there with some Baptist boys. And I was I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they weren't. And I knew better because I'd been out on the streets a lot, and I wasn't scared of nothing. You know, even in my pagan life, I wasn't scared of anything. I didn't, just go on, you know, do what I had to do. But I ran across these two young men out there. This was late at night, probably 11 or 12 o'clock at night. We had I was still out there, and I was just kind of looking around and seeing how the lay of the land and all that kind of stuff, and seeing what kind of spirits were out there. And I ran across these two boys, and this one old boy had a spirit on him big as Texas and ferocious, man. And I got scared. I ain't never been scared, but I was scared of that dude. And I said, shoot, if I'm going to be scared, I ain't got no business being out here. So I went back. We were staying at a parsonage in Memphis over at a Baptist church over there. And this was about 3 o'clock in the morning when I got back over there. And I just went out in there. They had a great big parking lot. And I was out there praying. I said, Lord, if I'm going to be scared out there, I don't know what deal is, but I don't need to be an evangelist, you know. And about that time, I looked over, and about a block away, there was a big old dog. This dog was probably a 200-pound dog, and he started loping toward me. I said, now what in the world is this? And he kept coming toward me, just loping, man. I mean, just like a big old horse. And he would head it right straight for me. And when he got about, I don't know, maybe 50 to 75 feet away, probably more like about 75 feet away, I said, you stop in the name of Jesus. And what I remember, it seemed like a cartoon. You've seen them cartoons where the dog will stop and his back legs will go up and under his front legs, you know? Well, that's just the way it looked to me. And he turned around. I said, you go back where you came from in the name of Jesus. And that dog turned around and went back exactly where he came from. I said, whoa, look out now. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, that's the authority that I have given you. He said, you don't need to be afraid of anything out there on the streets. And I went back, and I wasn't scared anymore because I knew God was going to back me up. So just know that when you go out on the streets, and I always went into bad places. That's just where God had me. Just know that God's backing you up, and you don't have to fear anything. Amen, brother.
Amen, amen. I received that.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Wade.
Was it Tuesday night? Anyways, my wife and I and our neighbor all of a sudden came down with arthritis symptoms in our left knee. Each one of us in the left knee. So God's showing me something about the left. I don't know. But about the left knee. I asked for prayer for healing for my wife in particular, because hers is healing up slower than mine. Mine's almost healed, but still twinges, still hurts a little bit from time to time. So I need prayer for my left knee and my wife's left knee and my neighbor's left knee. And I'd like the Lord to heal us and show us what he was pointing out in that.
Okay. Well, we're going to pray, and you're going to believe, right?
Amen.
Amen. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that left knee spirit of arthritis off of all three of them right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you show Wade and Jeanette and their friend what it is you're trying to tell them. And we thank you for it, Lord. If there's an idol there, if there's something there, Lord, show it to them. If there's nothing, that you're just looking for the testimony of their faith, Lord, their endurance in their faith. Well, let them know in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Wade?
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
All right. Anything else?
Michael.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I said that's about all.
Okay, brother. All right. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, where would you like to start?
Okay, I'll start with you. How's that?
Come on, it's loading. Give it one moment.
What are we doing?
Hold on, I'm going to show you. Where are they at? There you go. There's a prayer request for 14 hours ago. And if you guys really want to agree with me in prayer, that'd be great.
Okay.
Let's see here. Well, you know, and it's awesome because you see the humility that people have. Sister Susan here, you can see it right here, says she needs to lose weight and be motivated to stop smoking cigarettes and work again. And so that's interesting. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just ask that you meet her needs, that you intercede in areas that she cannot control and show her what she needs to hone to being come closer to you. That's what it's about, the intimate walk that we share with you, Lord. And just as there was no other problem with anybody, according to Job, it was all Job's problems, Lord. So we just ask that you reveal to her what she needs to change in her life so that she can meet her needs through you, that you can meet her for. In Jesus' name, amen. That's
amen.
That's, let's see. I don't even know how to say that name, but the sister wants to have the Lord bless her and enlarge her territory. So, Father, we pray her your will for her in Jesus' name, and for all those that want a closer walk in you, that you know they can become the light to evangelize as well. You know, and workers worthy of their meat. So, Lord, start us off small and, with talents and see what we do with those and give us revelations there. For the soldiers overseas, and, you know, I agree with that for every country, specifically anybody that's out there fighting wars. Lord, you know, Jesus says that I don't pray for the world, but I pray for the ones that you've given me in John. And so, Father, those that are truly yours, that are within the battle lines, so that their lives may be put in danger, we ask that you meet their needs as well. That we just ask that you loose angels to protect them and to guide them, what doors to go in and what doors not to go in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple more, if you guys don't mind.
No, you go right ahead.
Let's see here. Oh, this is an interesting one. I need to be free from the spirit man changing my desire, making me sometimes feel attracted by men against my will. Well, Father, we just ask that you, we just rebuke that homosexual spirit and Brother John in Jesus' name, Lord. We ask that you show him too what he needs to hone, what he needs to let go of, and the idolatries that we conform to in their statues as opposed to yours that bring forth fear and whoredom. And Lord, we just ask that you, that you intercede on his behalf and help him walk as a child, baby steps, in Jesus' name. Children and family, greater holiness in my life. So, Father, we agree there for Sister Diana that you, you know, the destruction of the priesthood and the family with is the number one things that the devil loves to do, you know, specifically to play us against one another. And if he can get the families fighting, the two or more can't touch anything and agree. And therefore, he's just destroyed the weapon that, you know, we're supposed to become. So, Father, we just ask that you restore unity there, that you humble both parties, and that you meet the needs of against drug abuse in Jesus' name within that home. And then this last one is for Sister Ada. My son Michael in Georgia, released from jail soon. He wants to come home to Cincinnati. He will need a place to live, job, etc., so that the Lord will, you know, provide for all his needs. Well, Father, you know, that's contingent for seeking first the kingdom of heaven, and all things will be applied unto you, Lord. So we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you light a fire under him, a thirst to open up his heart to you so that you can meet his needs. You know, you say, come, let us reason together. And many times I found that no matter how much I personally argue with you, eventually we both realize that you're right. So, Lord, we just ask that you you put him in situations that will break him. For the Lord is near the brokenhearted and where he can fall upon the rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the victory for every one of them in Jesus' name. And everybody here agrees, don't they? Yes, Lord. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Anybody else? If y'all listened to the broadcast last night, Matt had a dream, and it was about a storm coming. And the Lord was telling us essentially that repentance, if you need to repent, you need to repent and get it ready. You get ready before this storm comes. Apparently, it's going to be fairly quick. Now, we can, the way Matt's dream ended was that we can either start praying that Trump drains the swamp, he gets all of the corruption out of the government before the storm hits, or not pray and just have a hard time of it the next 3.5-4 years, okay? So that's what God wanting us to do. He's wanting us to pray that Trump drains the swamp without any trouble, and that God sends his angels over there to help out, or to do the job, actually. And not only that, to light a fire under the Democrats to get his cabinet in place so he can do the job that we've voted him in there to do. And, well, you know what's going on up there. Just keep on praying for him, because we're seeing some miracles up there now. We're seeing some miracles. Praise God. So, anyway, that's thought I'd throw that out there. And also, the Lord is telling us to repent and get ready for this time ahead. So, you know, whatever that means to you. Praise God. Okay, anybody got a prayer request? Testimony or a praise report? Nobody? Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to share? What you want to talk about tonight? Anybody got any questions they'd like to ask about anything? We'll just start that.
May I share something?
Sure.
You guys were talking about dreams, and recently I had a dream about a storm as well, you know, and I saw a bunch of palm trees blowing in the wind, and, you know, and specifically there's a lot of debris going around, but there was also a remote control car with like a GoPro on it, and I was seeing that via a remote location, right? So I wasn't in the storm, but I was witnessing the storm, and it was on TV. So I can, you know, attest to, there's something along those lines that palm trees are up, kind of uprighteous. Actually, Jericho was called the city of palm trees. And, it's interesting in that aspect. So I'll just make up it what you will. But that was about a week or so ago. Speaking of dreams, you know, and we're only human. Unfortunately, right now we're only human. And so we all get into it with one another. We argue and we bicker, and we want to be the greatest in every argument and every conversation. We can't be the least. And I'm speaking for myself here, right? Because the Lord sometimes has to tell you, you know, and, you know, so when you fight with somebody, you profess yourself wise, become a fool, right? You worship the creation rather than the creator, right? You don't understand the Lord's ways, right? And only through repentance will you come back, to him, you know? I got so frustrated. I started praying. I said, yeah, I was mad. I'd be honest. I was mad. I said, Jesus, don't you see what's going on here? Please open up your eyes. You know, I mean, because nothing's happened. So now it's his fault. Get it? Not his, it's not, has nothing to do with me at all, right? It's all him. And, you know, it's interesting because he's sitting right next to the Lord, and we don't think about that, but he intercedes for us. He's sitting on the right hand of power. All he does is just go, hey, Dad, yeah, let me tell you about that. That's it. You know, I mean, he just passes the message on. And that night, I got a dream. And the dream was, and the only thing I remember out of the dream was I had my boots on. And I took my boots off. I noticed that the tread was worn down, right? The tread was worn down, and that was a significant part of the dream. And when I woke up, it didn't even occur to me until a couple hours later. When I woke up, I realized that the tread, I've been treading over people back and forth. And furthermore, I had shoes on. See, because take your shoes off, you're on hallowed ground. So I wasn't holy as he is holy, but yet I'm treading over people back and forth. And it's wearing it down, right? And so what you do is we don't realize this, but if I get into an argument with Michael, he's got the Holy Spirit. And we're going against the Lord's ways because we're not to debate. And we're supposed to agree with our adversary quickly, right? These are commandments, by the way. We agree with your adversary quickly is a commandment that Jesus says, but we don't see it as a commandment. We just see him like saying, because he's a teacher in that aspect. We don't want to receive him as master there, right? So specifically, you know, I grieve the Holy Spirit in him and he grieves the Holy Spirit in me, right? We don't realize that we grieve each other and the Holy Spirit because we both, he and I get into an argument, we both take it to Dad. We both say, hey, you know, and he won't move until we realize, Lord, I'm a sinner, please have mercy on me. Stop pointing at the other person, right? Because you got three pointing back at you. You guys have all heard that before, right? But if I point, I'm pushing away. If I open up my arms, I'm receiving, right? And that's really where it's at. So, you know, I just thought it was interesting because emotionally, man, we get lost and caught up in a lot of stuff. You ever said something when you're really mad, right? You ever said something, you're really mad, right? Emotions can get to you, right? And that's just the way it is. You know, I can say something and it's going to be perceived different because I can say it one way, right? And mean it like just as a logical way. And if somebody's mad, they're going to receive it as a, you know, and it just fuels the fire back and forth. You tread over one another. So from my experience, right, the Lord's teaching me not to argue, right? Because I can't justify myself. I can't deny myself if I justify myself. And I can't say that I'm in Christ because that makes me a sinner, right? If I say I'm justified by Christ, it makes him a minister of sin. God forbid that, right? The only thing I can do is be patient, endure, thank him for the trial, right? Get over myself. I'm in my own way. And then let him justify me. And that's it. And that's with everything, man. You're going to argue about cheese on your Whopper. There's no reason for it. You know what I mean? There's no reason to argue, but I'm talking about like family because they rub you the wrong way, right? You live with family, you know, as a kid and growing up, you know, there's a difference between forgiveness and acceptance. And that's really where it's at. We don't realize that if I live with somebody, right, and we get into an argument, right, and nothing's ever resolved, then whenever you go back to that conversation again, you still have those wounds open. There's that bitterness. There's still that angst. I've got my position and I'm moving from it. Well, neither am I. Well, guess what? You never forgave each other. You just accepted it and moved along because you have to live with one another, right? But that's not forgiveness, and that breeds hurt, and it's just going to end up, you know, tearing you apart eventually, and the devil will use that over and over and over. So, you know, it's important to forgive and ask the Lord to reveal, for me, I asked the Lord to reveal what I needed to let go of and who I needed to forget. So just want to let you know. Sorry, it's getting really loud here. I'm going to mute the mic.
Amen. Well, that's true. That's true. I remember the story of the African pastor that had a little spat with his wife before he left. And he had a wreck and was killed. And the Lord took him, told him, he said, you don't belong here. You don't belong up in heaven. He thought he was going to slide right on in, you know. The Lord took him to hell and showed him exactly what was going on down there. And, man, he cried out to the Lord. The Lord pulled him out of there and he told him, he said, I want you to go up and tell my people what you saw down here. And that unforgiveness is unforgiveness. It makes no difference, you know. Whether it's a little spat you had with your wife or some anger that rises up into you for whatever reason, you know, from somebody. That's unforgiveness. And that pastor, he the thing that stuck out to me the most was when he came back and was with his wife. He said, if there was an inkling that there was a possibility of an argument with my wife, I'd leave and go and lock myself in the bathroom and start praying. He said, I've been to hell and I don't want to go back. And that's really the attitude we all ought to take, because we sometimes get a little bit lax in our relationships with, like Jeremy was talking about, family members, because they know your buttons. But now we're Christians, and God wants us to get rid of the flesh, and we're supposed to be dead men walking, right? And those things shouldn't bother us anymore. And if they do, just ask the Lord to take them from you. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, on that note, I took today off from my work. It's my birthday, so I had to go renew my license, my driver's license. It's an important piece of information. But I was sort of rushing out of work, and a delivery had to come off a truck. And I took the delivery in, and as I left late, I said, that 800-pound delivery is not supposed to be here. And I'm sort of thinking that when I go back to work tomorrow, I'm going to get a tongue lashing for that. And I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness, because I made the mistake. I signed for it. The truck driver said it was supposed to go here. It was his mistake too. So I'm sort of wondering if I'm probably going to get in trouble. I did pray about it. I did actually see the truck turn around and go back, make a 3-point turn in an intersection to go back in the direction. And I went, maybe he's going back to collect that. The doors are all locked up now. So, tomorrow might not be a very nice day for me, and I just want to pray about that. That I take up my cross and ask for forgiveness. And so, just going to go into some prayer here. Lord, I'm suspecting that I might be in trouble tomorrow, and I'm going to need your help tomorrow to maybe face the people at my work who actually may burden me to take this to the proper place in my workplace, because it's a university I work for. And Lord, I just pray that that I take up my cross and follow you, and not try to defend myself in this. If they want to give me tongue lashing or whatever, I just pray, Lord, that I would put up with it. And all glory unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just pray that you show favor to Andrew when he goes into work, and it won't be a whole lot. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Has anybody got any question about anything? I ain't saying I got the answers, but I bet somebody over here has got some answers. How many of you know God's coming here shortly? He's coming, I believe, real quick. I believe we're fixing to see devastation like it's never been on this planet before. And we all need to be ready. You know, we've been talking about it for quite some time. We've been looking for it for 5 years here. I have. But I believe we're right on the verge of it. Go ahead, Calvin.
Yeah, you know, the Lord tells us when he's going to come. When this kingdom, when this gospel is preached, he knows that there's another gospel out there. But we want to, you know, proclaim the gospel that Jesus was talking about, the kingdom, the territory. See, we're talking about, you know, our problems, but we need to talk about the answer is Jesus, and he has a kingdom. It's a kingdom of God, and he wants to infiltrate the kingdom of heaven to earth. And how does it look? It's through his people. You know, he's going to use his people to get that accomplished. That's what's so awesome.
Amen.
Because he tells us, you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we are the kingdom of heaven here. We live in the kingdom of heaven here because we've got Christ living in us. We are the walking mobile temple, the tabernacle that God talked about. Praise God. Filled with the Holy Spirit and with all authority and dominion he's given us. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Happy birthday, Andrew. All right. Anyone else? You know, I talked a little bit about that yesterday on the Bible study. What y'all want to talk about? Y'all going to make me do all the talking? Come on now. Has anybody got any questions about what's going to happen, what's been happening now in the spiritual realm? Go ahead, Matt. I'll get you in a minute, Bill.
I was just going to say we should pray that Trump gets the intelligence he needs to drain that swamp and know the coming storm. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Bill.
I was listening to a program today on Bill Deagle's network, and he was interviewing someone named Jonathan Gray, and during the interview, Jonathan Gray was kind of making the point, I wish I remember exactly how I put it, but that what was happening in this country was a kind of theocracy being put forward, which was also in preparation for the last days. And I guess I mean, listening to him, he sounds like he's sticking very closely to the Bible, and I see it seems like it's so possible, and yet I thought I would ask to see how or if any of that could dovetail with Trump being a Cyrus and you know, the crossing of the Red Sea and Obama having been taken out and all of that as well. It's just a question, and so I guess I don't know.
Explain to me again the question. I'm sorry.
Jonathan Gray, he's been using the book of Joel. And he's gone through, and it's amazing listening to him. He's been using the book of Joel and talking about the Muslim threat, Islamic threat, and the characterizations of what the Islamic world is all about. Well, he's now moving on into explaining what's going on in this country as well. And he kind of made the point where you've got the political leader and the leader of the church, so to speak, the false, the leader of the world and the false religious leader of the world coming together. And it sounds like Trump would be that candidate as well. And I guess, okay, if none of you has, I think what's really more apropos is if anyone heard that interview themselves so that they could talk
about I haven't heard anything about it.
Sense about this just by telling you, I think. I guess my question is if anyone else has heard about Jonathan Gray. So, sorry.
I don't even know who Jonathan Gray is. Anybody else? I've never heard of him. Here's the real deal. The Lord has told us to pray for Trump and to and for God's people to keep praying. And whatever anybody else says is superseded by our prayers. I believe that with all my heart. And it makes no difference if they believe this or they believe that. If God has told his church, his people, his bride and whatever, everybody that's doing it, and we're praying these things and we're continually praying and we're thanking God for the answer, then that's what's going to happen. We're going to have the Christian world. What we're praying for is the Christian world to have peace in this United States for the next 3.5 to 4 years. And if that's, you know what would have happened if Hillary was in there. We would have no peace. The Christian world would have no peace. And so God has put Trump in there because of our prayers. And he's keeping him in there only because of our prayers. We don't want to lax and back up. I quit praying because we think everything's okay now. It's not okay. God tells us to keep on warring these spiritual warfares for Trump. Because if you've watched the news, he's under attack every day. So, yeah, I'm sorry that I don't know anything about Jonathan Gray or heard anything about what he's done or said, but I do know that God has told us to pray for Trump. So that's all I know.
I'm kind of thinking someone in the group might have heard of him. He's what is kind of an archaeologist, and he's gone through a lot of when I was homeschooling my nephew, there's a category within the homeschool community that's called UPART. It's called out-of-place artifacts. Apparently, out-of-place artifacts are so predominant that they throw the whole evolutionary story on its head and really make you understand that evolution is an absolute lie, and it's being taught all over the country. And that's my first way of having come across him. It's incredibly interesting listening to him because he kind of makes the point in the prehistoric world, so to speak, there was atomic war. There were planes. There are caves that have lights on in them still. They don't know how to replicate this. They don't know how to build the Pyramid of Giza, whatnot. But he's also apparently listening to him, someone who's stuck incredibly well to the Bible and has, I think, a gift in understanding some things. And because of that, I guess I'm kind of wondering, because of that, how all of this might fit together. So anyway, it's a question. If no one has heard of him, then, you know, then I don't know.
I got one question to ask. Who does he say built the pyramid of Giza, the big one?
That I don't know. I can't really say that. Maybe he does talk about it, but he I don't know specifically. He does have a website, okay. And it's called beforeus.com. And I suppose, but that's only where the archaeological information is listed. He's done other interviews, mm-hmm. Which really have nothing to do with the archaeology, and I think it comes out of Australia. But but I, having listened to him because of the characterizations, yeah, that he seems to see, which fits perfectly and dovetail perfectly with what's going on in the world today too. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a really good gift there. So I guess, well, if no one's heard of Jonathan Gray, then it's okay. A rabbit hole.
Okay.
So, sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. We don't know anybody heard of him. Maybe next week we can talk a little bit about it. I'll try to get on there and see if I can see what I can see. I've never heard of him. I don't know. He's not into the Nephilim and the UFO stuff, is he?
No, I don't. Well, no. I mean, if it's UFOs, it's demonology. And he does make the point. Well, it's interesting listening to him. I mean, he does, in the archaeological digs, there, I think, have been many very, very tall corpses or bone structures that have been found of people. And yet he seems to have an understanding that fits perfectly with the Bible. I don't think in all that I've listened to him that I've really heard him talk about Nephilim and the giant and those, you know, the men, the angels coming down marrying women. I don't know what his understanding, that's on the fringe, and I don't think he deals so much on fringe stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good thing. That's the reason I have, you know. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know any more about it. I don't guess anyone else does either. All right. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'm just going to make a comment. What you said before about it's really important that the people of God pray. We get a newsletter from Michael Baudet every month, and he said in there that he's really concerned that people are not, since Trump got in, they think it's, you know, it's a slack time now. They don't need to pray, and they don't need to contribute to the things of God financially. And we're also hearing from some other places that this one place we get a letter from, they said the money almost stopped completely now. And so that's a bad sign because, you know, like you said, we do need to pray and we need to support those places.
Amen. That's exactly right. We're in a critical time right now. In a critical time. Okay. Anybody else got Bill, you had your hand up?
Trevor is sitting right here, and he's got something.
All right. Go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah, I just heard something we can pray about for Trump. Let me think here. Yeah. Well, you know how Michael Flynn just got taken out, and Hillary Clinton apparently tweeted right after that to Michael Flynn and said, like, what goes around comets around, and which was a reference to Comets Pizza, which is the pizza restaurant that is in the middle of the Pizzagate scandal with the pedophile ring. So I was thinking we could pray for that to be exposed and for the Clinton Foundation to be exposed and brought down. And also, apparently Barack Obama is setting up a shadow government behind the scenes, like two blocks from the White House. And he's organizing a whole bunch of insurrection, basically. And I was thinking we could just pray against those two things.
Okay.
And the shadow government of Barack Obama.
You want a prayer? You want us to?
I can start it off.
Okay.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for having mercy on us. And Lord, just like the waters closed in at the Red Sea on the Egyptians, Lord, we pray that they would close in on these Egyptians, Lord, of Pizzagate and the Clinton Foundation, Lord, and Barack Obama and all these people who are trying to organize an insurrection. Lord, we just pray that the waters of the Red Sea would close in upon them, and also that as Haman was hanged on his own gallows, Lord, that they would be hanged on the gallows that they made for others, Lord, for your anointed. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just ask if any of those groups can be saved, we ask you to do it, Lord, and humble them and bring them into the kingdom. But if not, Lord, we thank you that your angels are already exposed and going to bring them down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing all the treasonous actions against this United States and its government to justice. And we just praise you, Lord, that you're already doing that. You're on the job, so to speak, and we praise you for it, Lord. Thank you for bringing this insurrection down, for bringing Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and Bill Clinton and all who are in that, Lord, to justice in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know, a lot of times when you're locked up in a jail cell by yourself, that when they start looking at you, Lord, a lot of times. And we thank you, Father, that you give them a chance to cry out to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, but in a jail cell. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
All right. Thank you, Trevor.
Yeah.
How's the drum lessons going?
Practicing.
Praise God. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just I come to you, and I thank you for rooting out any faction in our local fellowship and our outreach, or any of your chosen and your called, Lord. Any kind of faction, I command that to go from them in Jesus' name. Lord, place it in our hearts if there's anything in our hearts, Lord, that would keep us from getting to that place you want us to get at, Lord. We ask that you expose that too. Bring it out into the open so that we can repent and get right back in line with you, Lord. We don't want to have anything to hinder our walk. And we thank you, Lord, for the anointing that's coming, Father. And we were praying for that. We're praying for revival. We're thanking you, Lord, that that revival's going to start with a small breeze and go across this world like a whirlwind, Lord. And we praise you for it, like a wildfire burning up flesh all the way, Lord. And we thank you that it's going to start right here in Jesus' name. We long, Lord, to see revival start, because we've been praying for our loved ones for a long time, Lord, and wanting to see them come into the kingdom in a mighty way. And as you already know, Lord, it looks like it's going to take a mighty shaking to get some of their attentions, Lord. But I know that you can do that, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Household salvation, we're all believing for it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
I've been thinking about this word in Romans 13:4 for the situation of America. 13:3, sorry. For the rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. But when you got this Pizzagate thing and these other things, that sort of makes that a mix-up. And God placed these people, these people who have great power, in these, they're allegedly visited these evil places, and it's just not right for it to be this way, for these leaders to be involved in this. And it's kind of like backwards, because they're supposed to come against this kind of evil, and here it is in the word that we have to be subjected to the higher powers, and those powers were in there with Obama. But it's kind of the same as who was in power when Paul wrote this? The Caesar, he was under Caesar's power. And they had a bunch of gods over there too, you know. And they had a god for almost everything, like for love. And they come up with these same-sex marriage thing. And it's like having that god again, but it's in the law. And it's just wrong, you see, to have this kind of wickedness, especially since they know the law. And the law is holy, and they should know better, all of them. So I was just, this verse here popped into mind when Trevor mentioned that it's kind of all backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And, it makes me kind of wonder as to why God would put that in power. But at the same time, it's still wrong. And all those denominations know that. And even some religions know that. And that's the extent of how they have no actual remorse or respect for anything that is virtuous, even through law. They're not supposed to be licensing this kind of fornication. And that's just wickedness. And it's beyond things that would be a gray area for someone to know. This is beyond adding or taking away from the word. Or a dark thing where you might have a gray area there as to what is the spirit of the word that giveth life versus the letter that killeth, That's kind of like a problem when you talk to some other denominations, but this is way beyond to those principalities, in 6:12 of the book there. And that's all.
Well, Andrew, why do you think God allowed that to happen these last 8 years?
I think it's a warning to a lot of people in the denomination, as well as to us, of course, if this is the kind of people in power who have lots of money and influence and actual power and position of politics and even in the justice system, high judges even, in Canada, they've passed this law for same-sex marriage, and I googled the Pizzagate thing. I couldn't even watch it all.
It's horrific.
There was this actual. She had a British accent, and she was talking, and she sounded very legit, And they even had psychologists and psychiatrists talking to her. And she wouldn't even bat an eye. I don't even want to go into what she was talking about. And she was only 14, and she already had a baby at 11. And she escaped. So she's an eyewitness of what happened there. And it's still going on deaf ears. But I thought there was a lot of arrests for that happened. I heard.
Well, there's been over 700 arrests in California, 400 up in Pennsylvania, and I don't know what they're doing in D.C., but I suspect you're fixing to see a massive arrest in D.C. with the hierarchy, according to what we've read,
Well, that's even more than I heard of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, reason I believe that God allowed this to happen, these people are satanic worshipers, most of them in this Pizzagate thing, the people in the higher-ups there, they're all satanic worshipers, they're Satan worshipers, according to what we've read. And God did it because God's church wasn't praying. There was no prayer going up against what Obama was doing up there. Well, that's just, you got to just put up with it. No, you don't. You don't have to put up with it. We've proved that. God proved that to us just in this election, for goodness sake. Hillary was supposed to run over Donald Trump. Well, and if you, go ahead.
When I first heard about it, I just didn't even think that people would go into that kind of tragedy you know, it was a shock. I just don't like even thinking about it, but I prayed up a storm for that especially after I watched it, and you know, it's just so sad. You know?
Yeah. Which I can tell you this much, Trump is aware of it, and Jeff Sessions is aware of it, and you're going to see some stuff happening here probably just in a little while. They're getting all their ducks in a row because they know it's going to be a battle.
Well, I prayed about it, and I actually used that verse to actually say to God that this isn't right on a government, nowhere in history ever. And if it's in your country, there's got to be people up here in Canada that has probably partaken of that too. Because, you know, they know each other everywhere.
Well, you can believe that there's British royalty involved in it. I've heard that. And if British royalty is involved in it, then you can bet that there's some more European countries that are involved in it, so I don't know, but I'm sure it's going to come out sooner or later if we keep praying that God would expose all this stuff, this corruptness. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but throughout the world, there is a revolution going on as far as people going back to conservative values. France is fixing to elect a conservative lady to run the country. She's having the same speeches that Trump had. There's one in Italy. There's one in, there's some in Germany that's calling for Merkel's oust. They want her out of there and put somebody in there and it's just like that all over the world. And the globalists are running scared. And they're pulling out all stops, and they're trying everything to pull Trump down because Trump is the catalyst right now. And we need to be praying fervently for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, if he gets that being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's that overcoming power that he'll have and that strength that he'll need, you know. And I believe God's going to do it. We've had prophetic words to that effect. So we're just looking for it, and we're praying for it, and we're praying for him to be supernaturally strengthened and with supernatural wisdom and discernment. He needs great discernment up there with the people around him, because he's got some moles up there. He's got some enemies around him, and they're going to be rooted out. And I believe it, you know, because we pray. When I say we, I'm talking about God's church all over the world is praying for this man. And the word is going out to keep on praying, and they're doing it. And so I think we're going to see a turnaround here. You know, that's what I believe.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, Kurt.
I just had this thought.
If it would be.
Hang on, Andrew. I got Kurt over here. Go.
Yeah, I guess it was Andrew that gave the comment or something about, you know, praying and so forth and his thoughts. But anyway, the thought came to me about why we're in the situation we're in all over the world, not just here in America. But, you know, the church is so divided and has fallen so far away from God and his statutes. I mean, God is bringing this judgment on this country. That's why Obama was in office. You know, he said he raises up kingdoms and he brings them down. And I just remember, I mean, I'm 72, but I can remember back when I was a child in the church, I was molested by a preacher and of that church. And there's all kinds of sin and debauchery that's in the church. And this is why we're at the place we're at, is what I'm feeling or seeing, that God is bringing judgment. He says God judgments comes first to the house of the Lord. So the church is being judged. You know, God's people are being judged at this point. And yes, there is going to be a revival. I believe that with all my heart. But that's why this shaking is coming, is to shake his people up and have them to turn from their wickedness. Anyway, that's my comment.
Amen. That's right.
You can leave me.
Okay. Well, that's exactly right. The church has been sitting on their duffs for so long that they don't pray for the Word of God tells us to pray for those in authority so that it go well with us. So that's what we need to be doing. Anybody else? The reason that the left is going against him so viciously, the people that own these media outlets, the mainstream media, some of those people are involved. Now, they don't want to see Trump succeed. And that's why they were so against Jeff Sessions getting in there, because they're scared of that guy. And they were scared of Mike Flynn, too. And they were successful in getting him out of there. But I think they've got somebody in there worse for them than Mike Flynn. And that's this Harward guy. He's an ex-SEAL, and he's been under Mad Dog Mattis for years. So he may be a little bit harder on him than even Mike Flynn was, General Mike Flynn. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, you know, regarding the Trump and the praying, you know, that's why the Lord gave me four dreams, because it was four different outcomes of how or what we pray for.
Why don't you relate those, Matt? That a lot of people probably hadn't heard them. Can you do that? Do you mind?
I'm going to make it quick.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Yeah, the first one was I was on a mountaintop, and the Statue of Liberty was on that mountaintop, you know, not on an island. And it was right next to me, and it was huge. And, of course, there are people climbing, you know, Liberty, obviously, climbing for their freedom. And then there, off in the distance, was Washington, D.C., and there was a storm coming. And I knew there was a storm coming, so I had to go warn the king, basically, that there was a storm coming. But he knew there was a storm coming, and we were all getting ready. And that was, like, basically the whole thing of the first dream. There's three more after that. And the second one was just a little different. The Statue of Liberty was just a little smaller, so a little less liberty, because we weren't praying as much, you know, is what the interpretation was, you know, on that one. And then the White House turned into a castle, and President Trump didn't know that the king didn't know the storm was coming. And but we did get ready, and we were almost ready when the storm came. And the third dream was, I mean, each time I woke up and then fell back to sleep and started from the beginning on each dream. But the third dream was where I was on the mountaintop, but the Statue of Liberty wasn't up there anymore. It was down in a valley, and it was a lot smaller. And, you know, less liberty, because we weren't praying. And I looked and saw Washington, D.C. in the distance, and then it turned into a medieval city. And, you know, going back to the medieval ways of, you know, what the government was beforehand, because we weren't praying.
The Dark Ages.
Yep, the Dark Ages, basically, yeah. And he didn't know about the storm coming, and he wasn't really serious about getting ready for it. And the fourth dream, I was back on the mountaintop again, and the Statue of Liberty was down in the valley, but it was about the size of a two-story house. And you go from the first dream where it was stories tall. I mean, it was huge. Down to a two-story house in the last dream. I mean, it just shows you the whole scenario of prayer, how it works and how it doesn't work. if we don't do it. And then, you know, I saw Washington, D.C. turned into a medieval city and went there to warn the president or the king about the storm. And he basically laughed at us and said it wasn't coming. It's not real. And everybody else did, too. So the first dream, kind of a wind it all up. The first dream was the best scenario we could get if we pray for Trump to have intelligence that the storm is coming, that he will drain that swamp, that he'll get rid of everybody up there that will create a hindrance to the Christians having a peaceful 3.5 years in the tribulation. And then, you know, each dream was a progression of, well, if we don't keep praying, if we don't keep interceding, this is what it might look like. And then we kind of go down the line to where the worst scenario is that last dream. We're not prepared at all. And the president's not prepared. He doesn't believe it's coming. And we're back to that medieval, evil government that we had before. So, I mean, just the dream, the whole scenario where I had four dreams, it shows you the power of prayer and how important it is to pray for our government, pray for Trump, pray for the Lord to work in him, pray for his salvation, pray for the man-child to help him get ready for the storm.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, yep. So, prayer is prayer is our job as a Christian, to be praying for, interceding for the country and people around us. Amen. Thank you, Matt. David's got that his dreams are on the website, and David's interpretations with it, if you want to look it up. And also, that's what he talked about yesterday. Was Matt's dream and how we need to be praying. Amen. All right, anybody else? We still got a lot of time here. What y'all want to talk about? Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Yes, Mike. I just want to say it wasn't just only the dreams he gave me. It was the other people that kind of fit along with it.
Yeah.
You know, David shared yesterday.
Right. Okay.
I've got a prayer request.
Okay, go ahead.
I've been struggling with lust, and at work there's a girl that's flirting with me, and he's not saved, and I guess I would request prayer to keep my heart pure, and also for the Lord to help me find a good wife.
Any way I can talk you out of that? Oh, I'm just kidding, Trevor. I'm just kidding. Yeah, we can pray for you, brother. We sure can. Well, Lord, you hear Trevor's request. He wants a good, godly wife. And I know, Lord, with praying for other young men, that sometimes, or most of the times, you try to get us ready for the marriage before the marriage happens. And, Lord, we thank you for doing a quick work in Trevor, and getting him ready for this wife. You've already got him picked out to have, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to be ever diligent to be walking, climbing up that mountain of Zion, Lord, to get ready for this, for you, Lord. And if he keeps his eyes on you, then that wife will show up. And we thank you, Father, that she's going to be just the person that he needs to walk with him in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen. And we command that spirit of lust off of him right now in the name of Jesus.
Thank
you have no right there in the name of Jesus, and we bind you up and cast you off of it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that he is free. Amen.
Jesus.
All right, Trevor. Looks like you're going to be fixed up. Now, you got to get right before he's going to get you somebody that is right, okay?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, brother.
I had another quick prayer request.
Okay.
Well, when you guys prayed for me a couple weeks ago, I definitely got delivered from some demons. And I've been getting a lot of victory lately, and but I find that I still, after getting delivered, I find I easily fall back into, well, basically rejection and bad thoughts like that, and I guess I could use some prayer to be more stable and to just get those demons out once and for all, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, I thank you that you have delivered him from that. Now, I don't remember if we cast off the fear of rejection, but we right now we bind up fear of rejection, the spirit of fear of rejection, command it to go from him in Jesus' name. And we command the spirit of rejection off of him, the spirit of criticism, judgmental, and condemnation to go right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Trevor is free. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we ask that you place it in him that when that thought or that thing starts rising up in him, that he'd rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and it's got to go. And then after a while, it just won't even come back. Mm-hmm. And we praise you, Father, that he has been delivered of this in Jesus' name. You believe that, Trevor?
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Me too. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anybody else? Is that all, Trevor?
Yeah.
Okay, brother. God bless you.
God bless you.
Marlon, did you have something you wanted to share?
No, it was Gaynold. I was going to share something, but then someone else was talking, so then I thought I muted the phone again, but apparently it didn't mute.
That's okay. I muted you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, you were talking about revival and praying for household salvation, and I was just going to share that, oh, some days ago I had a dream, and I really felt that in it, was a bit of revival, and anyway, I just share it really quick. It wasn't long at all. Anyway, I was walking on a road, and as I was on it, I really felt that it was a highway, but it was just dirt. But you know, like if you've been on, and I know you've been on roads that have been, you know, like between hills, how they build up where it would be down low, they build that up so that the highway goes straight instead of going down in between the hills. Anyway, it was built up like that, and it was really quite deep down. I don't know, 30 foot or more for sure. But then off to the right, there were was a number of children that were running really fast to get up on this road. And I don't know, that, you know, they weren't like joining hands or anything, but they were all just running towards the road. And they seemed to be happy, but yet I could, where they were coming from, it was just brown grass. There was nothing, there was nothing green there. But, anyway, they were coming up, and I just, had the feeling that, another thing, a part about it, they were not dressed in clothes like we wear today. It seemed like, these children were dressed more in like pioneer style clothes, you know? And I was just, in my mind, I was wondering if perhaps that maybe meant that, you know, they were running to this road and that they had the truth of the word in them, which is different from today. and that they wanted to get on that road. And I heard just the word highway of holiness up there. And as I looked through, I just, there were also some other young teenage boys that were working on like the approach to the road. There were approaches, but the children were not, some were going up the approach, but others were just running up like through the ditch and trying to get up that steep embankment. But they were using like shovels and rakes, and they were wanting to make sure that the drainage was right and that the way was smooth. But anyway, when I saw them running, it made me think of revival, that, you know, there were troubling times coming. And the Lord really brought that scripture to me from Isaiah 35 about the highway of holiness. And would it be okay if I read a portion of that scripture?
Yes, ma'am. You go right ahead.
Starting with verse 1, it says, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing." Then on to verse 3, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the glowing sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where they lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes." And verse 8, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men, yea, fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." And I just really felt, as I was seeing those children running towards that road, that some of those running there were of our family, you know, our children and our grandchildren. And they could be anyone's children or grandchildren. But I just felt that he was just really speaking that. And it was comforting to me, you know, seeing them running through that road, that they wanted to be on the right path. And when you were speaking of revival, I was thinking of that because, you know, there's of all the dreams and all the trying things that are going on, they will be wanting to run where they know it's safety, and safety is in the Lord and in living his way, not the way of the world. Anyway, that's what I saw in that. And I think this was probably just for me to give me encouragement and to stand in faith, you know, for those that we've been believing for. And anyway, that was all I wanted to share. Thank you.
All right. That's good. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right.
May I comment on some of that?
Yeah, you go right ahead, brother.
You know, that's an awesome dream, sister, by the way. And there's a lot of things that take in from there. First and foremost, if they're dressed in pilgrim's clothes, then, you know, the pioneers of the way, right? And it's interesting how you see that they're to their children that are running to the path, right? But some of them get caught in a ditch. Well, the blind leading the blind, you're both going to fall into a ditch. And when you're in that ditch, they're looking for tools, right? For perfection. When you're in that ditch, you're under the law. When you're into that ditch, you're doing everything you can to be righteous. It makes you wrong all the way around. It makes you wrong because it's the work that's done in you. It has nothing to do with what you can do, right? And so that's what I got out of that. It's just kind of confirmation for me. So I want to thank you for sharing that. And it's interesting that you said, you know, about the root, because specifically, and if you guys got like maybe 5 minutes, I'll run through this real quick. In Matthew 13, Jesus is talking, about the parable of the seed sower. And it's really awesome because it's, he spake many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, excuse me. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among thorns. This is the seed now. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But the others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Some hundredfold, some 60, some 30-fold. Right? If you scroll down, he explains that to his disciples. And what I found interesting about that was when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and carrieth away which was sown in his heart. This is he that receives the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and with Anna and with joy receives it, yet has no root in himself. For it endureth for a little while, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And it's interesting because, you know, what came to mind was the root that has to be within us, right, is love. In Ephesians 3:17, it tells us that Christ may dwell in your hearts, because that's the stony place. The stony place can't be stony, right? It has to be a heart of flesh. It has to be a durable ground. It has to be tilled. Right? It has to be plowed. If you're fit for the kingdom of heaven, you can't look back, right? So you're plowing the earth. You're plowing your heart. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. It's real difficult to do, right? To be rooted and grounded in love, right? Because when you're in that ditch, you're still looking for everything you can to be holy. Everything you can do, you can't be the least because you're already the greatest. Look at your works. Lest any man may boast, right? You fall right into that error. In Job 19:28, it tells us, but ye should say, why persecute him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Right? It's got a question mark at the end of it. But that's the case right there. The root is within us all the time, and it has to be transferred over, right? So it has to be a refreshing, a renewal of our minds. I'm not trying to bounce around, but initially, if I look at somebody, love thinks no evil. I can't assume that they're going to do something that's going to be distasteful. That right there tells me about me, not about them. I have to stop looking at them and recognize the root in me that is what has to change. It has nothing to do with anybody else. That's the law. For whatever the law says, it says to them that's under the law. In Romans 3, we're told it's because of the knowledge of sin. It's the sin in me. It's the sin in that you would see that keeps you under the law. Right? Because you cannot possibly love me if I'm wrong. You can't get over that. You got to get over that. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, yet friendship with the world's amity with God. Well, how's that possible? That means don't be in the world, but love the people, right? Identify with the people. You know, it's really difficult. That is a narrow balance, right? It's a tightrope because, you know, when you identify with those people, you have to really just let everything go and love them for who they are in their imperfections. That means your mother, your brother, your wife, your husband, all of it has to go. But the devil's real savvy, right? And, you know, we're told in Hosea 4:6, I don't remember which one, that my people are destroyed through the lack of knowledge. And let me just one more thing, and I promise mom's a word, right? There's something that we keep running into, and it's interesting because you guys ever heard the verse that if any not provide for his own house, he's denied the faith, and this, you know, he's worse than an infidel. You guys heard that before, right? It's funny because that gets thrown around a whole lot, doesn't it? Right? And look at the fruit of it, right? When it gets thrown around in condemnation, right? So if you actually look at the context of what's being discussed, out of context, it lends itself to unrighteous judgment because we can see what they're not doing. It lends itself to self-justification. I don't have to respect you because of, right? I justify myself because of what you're doing. And that condemnation that's used as a weapon is drawn from a place of hurt. right, from me and into you, right? It produces contention, unforgiveness, bitterness, right? Now, the root has to be within you so you don't receive that, because there's no condemnation in Christ, right? But this is just another way the devil will attack you in that area, speaking of which, and he'll divide families that way, right? So there's a lot of condemnation because we don't receive the word. We don't rightfully divide the word and study to show ourselves approved. If we do that, then the root is within us, right? Once the root is within you, the problem's gone because the old root's been uprooted, you know? So just chew on that a little bit. I'm not trying to add a bunch of stuff in at once. But I tell you what, when you finally, like I could preach it all night, if I can't receive it, because there's been many times I've personally done that, yap, 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 and I'll say it, but I don't live in it, right? And then I'd have to apologize for being a hypocrite because I'm not walking that way. And you know, but the Lord has to weed that out of me, you know? So it's the root that has to be within us that only comes through persecution, right? So when the sister had the dream about the children, you know, we're children of God in a pioneer. They're running at that field with no fear. And then some are getting caught in that ditch, right? No fear. So have no fear. Run after Christ with everything that you are, right? Don't look at the waves around you and you won't drown. That's faith.
Amen. A good word. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else want to add to that? Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? Denny's got a telephone conversation going there. All right. Well, I got a little something here I can probably share. Unless somebody else has got something. I thought I saw something about it. But anyway, y'all know what a disciple is. That's a learner and a follower of Jesus, right? And that's somebody who's studying the master, who's following in his steps, who's walking in Jesus' step, who's learning what it is to be a Christian. And now, that word Christian, Jesus didn't make that word. There ain't a verse in the Bible that says that. He was making disciples, wasn't he? He was making somebody that would walk in his steps. And he put conditions on discipleship. And he put those conditions on those, all of those people who were following him and who were believing. You hear me? He was believing. They were believing. With these modern churches we got today, all a person has to do is believe in Jesus. Y'all ever heard that? Y'all just ask Jesus in your heart and you shake the pastor's hand, give him a buck or two, and you'll be solid, man. You'll be in heaven. But how many of you know that Jesus put conditions on discipleship? Here's one of them right here, John chapter 8 and verse 31. If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. And the Bible keeps on saying, it says, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. That's in 2 John chapter or verse 9. He didn't say who started out with you, but he said who continued with you and continued to abide in the teachings of Christ. So he's saying the same thing to these people who believed in him, that if his words would abide in them, they would be his disciples. There's a bunch of folks out there who are not disciples. And if you'll watch in the days ahead, there's going to be a great falling. Well, you can look at right now. You can see there's a great falling away right now because of that. They think that because they ask Jesus in their heart, that's all they got to do, and go and attend church on Sunday and Wednesday night. And, man, they are in like flint. But God gave us stipulations in this walk with him. A lot of people followed the Sadducees and the Pharisees back in Jesus' day instead of following Jesus. But what Jesus say? He said, he that is of God heareth the words of God. That's in John chapter 8 and 47. And that remnant among them who had the gift and the calling of God, who had that gift of true faith, they followed him out, didn't they? You remember that Jesus is speaking to the people who had believed him. So he put this condition on them. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, in John 8 and 32. Those people who believed him, who abided in his word, they're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make them free. That's us. But however, if you remember, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the answer, and the Zealots, they answered back. He said, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Well, if you remember, and remember what happened, they was in bondage to the Roman army right then. So that was a lie that they had told. But if the man-child comes in the days ahead, when he comes and preaches this same message and he quotes Jesus, what kind of reaction you reckon this ministry is going to get out of the apostate church? What do you think is going to happen? They're going to come against him just like they did back in Jesus' day. The people who don't read their Bible, that is essential in the Word of God. Every one of us, if you've been listening to David's teaching for very long, you understand that God wants us to be in the Word. He wants the Holy Spirit to teach us everything. And if we hear a teaching from man, David always tells us, if you hear me teach a word, you get the Word of God with you, and you make sure I'm right. And if I'm wrong, you let me know and we'll change it. But until then, we're going to do what God's told me, you know. And that's the way we always teach here, is that you don't allow just man to teach you. You go back to the Word of God and make sure that he's teaching what the Word says. That's the standard. If you don't have a standard to go by, a lot of people don't even believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. They think it was written by man. Well, of course it was written by man, but it was inspired. They wrote everything the Holy Spirit told them to back then. They wrote everything that the Holy Spirit told them. And of course, if you know anything about the Bible itself, you know that Ivan Panin, back in, for I think it was 50 years, studied numerics in the Bible and found out that it had a pattern to it, and that the Word of God itself came from God. And that's pretty evident. If you we've got all of that on the site, if you want to go and review it. But anyway, getting back to what I was, the thing that I was coming to, if you don't have a standard to go by, and we do, that's the Word of God, then you'll listen to any kind of doctrine out there and believe it and fall in that type of apostasy. And the Lord told us to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you work it out with fear and trembling, you're going to be in the Word constantly, and you're going to know when that false prophet comes. You're going to say, well, wait a minute, here's what it says in the Word of God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have that discernment. And the only way to get that discernment is to read and study the Word of God. Jesus told us to abide in him. When we abide in him, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, the commandments are everything in the New Testament that he wants us to go by. To abide in him is to abide in the Word. He said, I am the Word. You know what it means to be Abraham's seed? In Romans 4 and 16, it says, for this cause it is of faith that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. And that's all the seed of the elect, all the seed of the remnant, okay? Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And that's speaking to the Roman church. It's an overwhelming Gentile church now. And that's who Paul is talking to. He said, Abraham is the father of us all. He's talking to the Gentiles and the Jews, isn't he? Romans 4:17. As it is written, a father of many nations. And that word nations, of course, can be translated into Gentiles too. Have I made thee, he goes on and says. So Abraham was the father of the people who had faith. They had the faith of Abraham. They were the people who believed the promises. The people who believed the promises of God, the people who have faith, that's the seed of Abraham. So what are we supposed to believe? Well, Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? So let's take, for instance, you believe in a particular religion and what they say about the word of God. Well, that's not the seed that's been born from above, is it? If we're going to be born of the Father, it has to be the seed that came down out of heaven. Can't be somebody else's seed. Can't be man's seed, can it? Can't be the seed of the Pharisees. And if we'll read on, we'll see that another seed didn't work. Another seed couldn't bring forth Christians. In fact, the people whom those other seeds brought forth couldn't even recognize Christ, could they? They didn't see. When they saw him, they didn't recognize him. When he told about him in Daniel, told about him in the Old Testament. Is it the same today? Well, I guarantee it is. When the man-child ministry comes, that exact same thing is going to happen. History is going to repeat. And the people who consider themselves sons of Abraham, they're not going to recognize that they got to abide in his word to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. They think all they got to do is go to church and give the pastor the money that they got to give him. John 8:33 says, they answered unto him, we are Abraham's seed. You see the arrogancy there? And have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, they were in bondage right then to the Roman army. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin, and the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever. So we need to understand that abiding in the Word is going to set us free according to what Jesus said. They didn't think there was a possibility of being set free from sin. And if you look, most of the church today don't believe that either. Jesus said if you abide in his word, you'd be set free from sin. And that those people who were in bondage to sin would not abide in the house forever. Whew. I wouldn't want that to happen. So what these tell us here, the word has the ability to set free from sin. And the church don't even know that today. Most of them, I'm talking about the denominational, all the denominational churches don't believe that. I had a guy one time, we was in a Bible study, and he was talking about that same thing. He said, you can't do nothing. You can't walk. He told me, you can't walk across the room and go to the door without sinning. So I just got up out of my chair and walked over there and came back and sat down. I said, I didn't sin a bit. You know, just to show him he was wrong. Of course, I was advocating that the branches were broken off, you know. Anyway, it was just a show that the only way that we can get by without sinning is through Christ, right? Christ is the one that takes that sin away from us. All we have to do is believe and act on it. John 8:36, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And he does that by us abiding in the Word. The Son didn't set you free when you first stepped into the scene, the kingdom. He only set your spirit free right then. Now he wants to set your soul free. He wants to sanctify your soul by crucifying that old soul life. And what's the soul? That's your mind, will, and emotions. That's your flesh. I said, old man, he wants to whack that off of you, all of us. Now, in the natural, in the letter, those people were sons of Abraham, but they couldn't imagine themselves not to be saved. And according to their thinking, all you had to do to be saved or to be born again, a Jew, was to be born a Jew and to have the covenant. That's what they were thinking about. That's where all of their mindset was all that time. I'm a Jew. What you talking about? I am special. I am God's chosen. What are you talking about here, Jesus? And that's what they're thinking now in the church, the same thing. They're doing the same thing today. All I have to do is be born again. All I have to do is accept Jesus as my Savior. That's my ticket into heaven. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. Here's a revelation. That doesn't mean you're a shoe into heaven. And that's a lie, actually. They thought they had unconditional eternal security because they were Jews, didn't they? And those people today that think that they have unconditional eternal security because they accepted Jesus in their heart and they're not abiding in his word and who call themselves Christians, even though they're not disciples, they're not learners, and they're not followers of Christ. He said a person had to abide in his word to be a disciple. They're still in bondage to sin. And he says they won't abide in the house forever, didn't he? And if he says that they won't abide in the house forever, that means they ain't going to be up there with us. So we need to be very careful. And if you're buying into the garbage from the church, there won't be any reason for you to accept the man-child ministry when it comes to restore the doctrine of the truth of the word. And that's the only thing that's going to set us free, folks. It's the only seed of God that creates Christian is the true gospel. The rest of the church is just following the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's pretty dangerous when you believe in a man over and above the word of God. The word of God is the standard. We have to have a standard. And if your religion doesn't line up with the word of God, then which one you need to toss? You need to toss that religion, because the word of God is the one that's going to set you free and take you out of here. Anybody want to comment on what we just talked about there? I know y'all have all heard that before, but it's something well worth going over. Go ahead, Calvin.
Yeah, you know, when you were reading earlier, you know, do you know who named us Christians?
Yeah, it was Antioch.
It was pagan. Pagans, yep, named us Christians.
Yep.
God called us sect or child of God or son of God. He called us son of God. I'm a son of God.
Yep.
I'm not a Christian.
Yeah, you're a disciple. You're a son of God.
Yeah, I am.
That's exactly right.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And as a son of God, we have the inheritance, don't we? If we abide in the word.
Yes, yep. Amen.
There's conditions. There's always conditions to this walk. Yes. And if you don't abide in those conditions, he says you'll be broken off, doesn't he?
Yep.
How many of you want to be a branch that's been broken off? Because if you're broken off the root, there's no life there. Amen. Go ahead, Jeremy. Oh, I thought you wanted to say something.
No, I just felt the need to stretch.
Okay.
No, but if you're broken off, then eventually you fall and you start bearing good fruit. Mm-hmm. You have to be broken hearted and be, you know, draw nigh unto God.
You can't fix something that's not broke.
Yeah. Well, the problem with being broken off is reprobation. There's no chance to get back. Well, there is. You know, you don't want to go so far that you get reprobated. Amen. You can know too much when you fall. If you know too much, the word tells us that. If you know too much and you go back to the world, there's no chance for you to come back. Now, I don't know where that is. I suspect
it's impossible. It's Hebrews.
Well, I meant where that line is what I was talking about. Yeah, but yeah. So anyway, we want to stay in the Word. That'll keep us out of trouble. Yeah. If you're having trouble with sin, I found this out in my own walk. If you're having trouble with sin, get in the Word. That'll keep you out of sin. When you feel like, hey man, this thing starts bugging you, whatever it is, get in the Word. Rebuke it and get in the Word and watch what happens. Because next thing you know, you'll be looking there and you'll be studying the Word and that thing will be gone because it don't like the Word.
But Michael, sin is fun.
Well, to your flesh, yeah. But we're trying to kill that flesh. We want the Lord to kill that, slice and dice all that flesh off of us. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, the Lord makes it makes it a lot easier when you're around people who are believing like you believe, and you're going about it because you see them and you're holding each other accountable for it, and you know that everybody's striving for the same thing. That's a good place to be. But when you're out there like some of y'all are, you're struggling. Look, that's why we have this fellowship here, so we can lift one another, encourage one another, and we can make it through these things that we go through. Go ahead, Calvin.
Yeah, for me, you know, I need to work, you know. Like the Bible says, if a man don't work, he don't eat. You know, a lot of people want handouts.
Yeah, that's what he says. You got to work.
Amen.
You have to work. But you know what I used to do, Calvin, on my lunch break, I'd take my Word out and start reading it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
All right, anybody else?
I had a quick question.
Yes, sir.
How do you combat the fear of being reprobated?
Well, if you got a desire to come back, don't worry about it. Just go on in there and repent and get back in the Word. You see, if you're reprobated, you won't have a desire. Most generally. Trevor, the place where I'm talking about is if you know the Word of God and you've been taught like we have, and you just do it, you sin, you go back to the world knowing you're doing wrong, you know, that's not good. But if you're just messing up, sinning, then you repent of it and come back in. God don't see that. He doesn't see you sin anymore.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Be kind.
Can I add to that real quick?
Go ahead.
Romans 1 is where you're talking about the reprobate. Where is it at? Here's Romans. Come on. Why is it? Why can't you just go to Romans? There you go. All right, Romans 1. All right. The verse actually says, after that, the truth of the woman, okay, and being filled with righteousness, okay. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, goes on for three other verses. Right? I say that, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the thing, but have pleasure in them that do it. But it's God's will that no one should perish. Right? It's his will no one should perish. So that's what you have to repent for. He says you don't become reprobate, you're turned over to a reprobate mind. right? If you've turned over to a reprobate mind, then this is, these are the causes for it. This is what it brings in. You know, repent for that and then realize you're forgiven. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You know, just repent for it. Say, Father, please forgive me for, cause it's about arguing. It's addressed to the brethren and it's about arguing, right? Please forgive me for being contentious, for being all this. And here are the reasons for it. And I'm really sorry. I ask that you cast my sins from the sea, from the east into the west, and then let it go. Know that he's forgiven you. It's not his will that you'll perish. You know, but there's a lot of people out there that say you become reprobate, and that's the nuance right there. If you become reprobate, it's over. But if you're turned over to it, he's basically just like Paul gave him up for the destruction of their flesh to Satan. Basically just saying, all right, have it your way. Tell me how that works out. You know, eventually we got to get broken. And that's it. It's not a big deal, but there's so much condemnation there, man. It just, the law is like a hammer, okay? And if I give you a hammer and say, now do this, and you know, now this is the only tool you got, that every problem becomes a nail. Okay, that's it. You can't use a hammer on everything. You can't screw something in with a hammer. Right? That's why Jesus is there. It's specifically because, you know, he's love. He's changed everything around for us. And so we cannot beat each other up with the law anymore. You just have to be the least, let it go, realize we're forgiven, and then the mighty work's done in us. We're not reprobate. We're not cursed. He became the curse. Done.
Let me tell you a little bit from experience about the faction, okay? The factious spirit jumps on people. And what it does, if they don't repent almost immediately, when you've been corrected, okay, and an elder or somebody has corrected you, hey brother, you're trying to start, you're fomenting problems in the body here. And what happens if they don't repent, that factious spirit jumps on them. And it takes every knowledge of God out of your brain. It does. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. I mean, they are complete idiots. It's the truth. It's the truth. I saw one guy that went factious, and he had a critical spirit. He always wanted to criticize somebody. And we talked to him about it, and we prayed with him about it time and time again, and he just finally got couldn't fight it anymore, and he gave in to it, and he went out of here. Last time we saw him, he was jumping around like a cartoon character. I ain't kidding you, and was glad and was happy to be evil. And that's what it did to him. We've had another guy that came in here that was factious, that went out of here filled with the Holy Spirit, ended up in the Mormons. I'm telling you, another one went out of here filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, had gifts and all that stuff, became a Baptist after he factioned out. It's just a stupid spirit that jumps on him. It's not that the demon is stupid. It makes the people, God just erases everything they've had. And that's the danger in it. That's the danger. But we know that some are coming back. Because of our prayers, and God has given us dreams to see some of them come back. It's not that all of them are going to be. I don't know where the line is, Trevor. I don't know where it is. So I ain't going to get caught up in it with God's grace. I'm not going to get caught up in it with his help. Okay, we're out of time. Has anybody got any prayer needs before we get out of here, before we close out?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Tracy.
There's still, I had my job interview and they're still, deliberating who gets that job. So just that the Lord's will, you know, I don't want, if it's not mine, I don't want it. But if it is mine, praise God. So.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just believe with Tracy that, if you want her to have it, the door's going to be open. But if not, Lord, we thank you for closing it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Amen. Okay. What you got, Denny?
Hi, Michael. Yeah. Debbie's, had a few things with her stomach issue with some ulcer type things on the lining and some polyps and that. She had it looked at, but she wants to handle it by faith.
Okay.
So we're just standing for me to pray. So
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And you said when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. In the name of Jesus, right now, we come against those polyps and those ulcers in Jesus' name, and we command them to go from Debbie right now in Jesus' name. We command that stomach to line up with the Word of God and be healthy and healed in Jesus' name. And she's not going to have any more trouble with it in Jesus' name. Now, she can eat anything she wants to. She can come down here and eat some of my Cajun food if she wants to in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. She's healed.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to say one thing for Trevor, too, that, you know, dealing with sin, it's going to require repentance. And so prepare for that. Even if you find yourself falling and then you're confessing, and then sometimes you get in that habit of falling, confess, fall, you keep, but prepare to repent. And then, you know, and then make no provision for the flesh if it's something that's causing it. But you know you're going to have to repent. And once you get that victory over that, then you have you just have victory. Thank you, Jesus. So prepare ahead of time to deal with it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got a subject for Tuesday night they'd like to talk about? Well, maybe I'll think up something between now and then, and I'll email everybody. Well, Lord, we just thank you for a great night tonight. We thank you for a good discussion, Father. We thank you, Lord, that our prayers are being answered even as we speak, Father. We thank you, Lord, for draining the swamp up there in Washington, D.C. We thank you for exposing all of these pedophilia people up there in Washington, D.C. and around the world, Lord. Round them up, Lord. We thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for all the work that you told us to pray for, that our prayers are being answered because we believe that when we pray, that we're going to have answers to them because we've got the faith that you've given us, and we believe in Jesus' name. Give us a good night's sleep, Lord, and let us have a wonderful weekend in you, Lord, and let us always place it in our hearts to always be praying and interceding for our brothers and sisters and this nation in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody, and God bless.